on a really hard day where I was like, I just don't even, like, this situation sucks. I hate not seeing him. This is so hard. And she was like, okay, well, I get it. But the alternative is that you're with someone that's not been. Is that worth it? And I was like, absolutely not. And I think after she asked me that question, my perspective changed on those hard times.
Welcome, you wonderful, purposeful, and beautiful humans. The Hope Still Wins. I'm your host, Ben Higgins, and today I have my fiance, Jess, joining me for the last episode of this series, because guess what? We're getting married this weekend.
I cannot believe it. I've been waiting my whole life for this, and especially the last year and 9 months, so I'm very excited.
Yeah, I got her.
Yeah,
locked her in.
I got him.
In this series, Jess and I will sit down with some of our favorite couples to unpack what hope looks like in each season of the relationship journey.
And today, it's just going to be Ben and I, so hope that's okay with you guys. We're going to be sharing a little bit about our love story, answering your relationship questions you submitted to us on Instagram, and I'll probably crack some jokes.
I'm very excited for that. It's going to be a celebration. Are you ready to do this thing? The last episode. Are you ready to get married?
I'm definitely ready for both of those things. So let's do this on a very special episode of Hope Still Wins in Relationships. Here is Benjamin and me and myself and I.
Well, we've had a lot of questions sent in. And when we planned this series out, we wanted to spend this last episode just you and I, because we knew, you know, the big day's coming. We thought this would be fun. And we asked all of you to write in some questions, and they came. And they came in a lot of ways. And
they came in hot.
They came in hot. And we're excited to answer them. We're just talking through them, I guess. I don't know if we have many answers, but at least I always like it when people, when I have questions, not when people have to tell me the right answer, but just that they've heard my question.
Yeah. We can process it out loud with everyone else.
Okay, hon. Well, one of the first questions that we want to start out with, and I really wanted you to answer this one. I think it's maybe it's a question you and I feel like most people know, especially in our family and friends, but maybe they don't. Can you walk us through our like relationship journey from maybe the moment we first met to the moment that we had our first date?
Do you want the first DM or the first meeting?
First DM. I want this at the very beginning.
Okay. So I was attending a hockey game in Nashville, Tennessee at Bridgestone Arena. I took a photo with my dad at the game and I tagged my location. And Ben, and I posted on Instagram. And Ben was staying at the hotel across the street and he was just exploring Instagram on the little explore page. And my photo came up on it because of location services, which we love. And Ben screenshotted my photo. And he wasn't ready to DM yet. He was just processing, I guess, what he was going to do with that information.
I just didn't want to be creepy. Like, I thought...
Well, you still ended up DMing me.
No, so. I know. There was never a moment where it was like, okay, this is no longer creepy.
Yeah.
Now I can just tell I've held onto her photo for the last 6 months. That's even weirder.
Yeah. And in those 6 months, I went on other dates. I don't know what Ben was doing, just gallivanting around town.
Just wait, looking at that picture.
Yep. It was his screensaver from what I understand. And then on Thanksgiving 2018, I woke up and I had a DM from someone with a blue check mark and a million followers on Instagram. And I was like, what in the heck is going on? And I was with my brother and my mom and we talked it out. And they were like, you've got to figure out how this guy who was on The Bachelor found you. So I replied to his message and we ended up going free. And then he pulled the old... I don't check my Instagram that often, so why don't you just text me? Yes, you did.
Did I do that?
Yes. I'll pull it up.
We got to screenshot this.
We'll screenshot it. Okay. We'll post it. So
How
I
te- smooth.
Oh, please.
I've got game.
Okay. So then we end up texting, and then on Sunday he had gone to church, and they were talking about generosity. And he asked me if I thought it was easier to give of your time or your money. At the time, I was making below minimum wage at my job and living at my parents' house. And I was like, oh my gosh, money's so much harder for me to give, but if I say that in a text message, I'm going to sound absolutely terrible. So I sent him a voice memo back so he could get the inflection in my voice. I send the voice memo, and immediately he calls me. And we talk on the phone.
Were you nervous when you saw me calling you?
Well, I was actually, I was on a run, and I was
That's right. You said, can I call you back?
I answered, and I was like, hey, can I call you back in like 20 minutes? So then I called him back, and we talked for, I don't know, 30 minutes or so. He hung up, and he said, well, if nothing else, at least I got a good friend out of this, and hung up the phone. And I was like,
you love sharing that part.
Oh, because I was like, well, I'm never hearing from this guy again. Like, fun little flirtation while it lasted. Never thought I'd hear from him again. Hung up the phone and was like, man, blew that one. And then, like, I don't know, a couple hours later, he ended up texting me again. And I was like, okay, we're still in the game, but maybe we're just friends. But then we ended up FaceTiming. We FaceTimed every night for like 3 weeks for hours. And then he bought me a plane ticket out to Denver, and I came and saw him.
It's actually a night. It's a funny story because I have a restaurant here in town. Well, I have two restaurants here in town, but the very first one was opened up. It's called Ashkara. And I was so excited for this. And it was our friends and family night at Ashkara. And everybody was celebrating. Well, later that night, I texted her. I was like, hey, I think someone was along the lines of like, I wish you were here for this. Like, this is a cool night. I wish you were sharing this with me. And so I called her then afterwards, and I was like, you know, tomorrow night is our grand opening. Would you want to come out here for it if I get you a plane ticket?
Yeah.
And she said yes.
I was like, sure. Why the heck not?
And so then, continue, because your side of the story is funny here. Yeah. And then we'll get on to some more of this stuff, but this is how kind of it all started.
Yeah. So he buys me a plane ticket. I'm at my office Christmas party, which everyone knows how those go. So I wake up the next morning thinking it's all a dream. But I have an alert from Southwest to check in for my flight. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to Denver tonight. So I come home, and it's time for me to get on my flight. And my dad drives me to the airport. And
which is a big deal, because your dad is an incredible dude. And yeah. Him and I get along great. But, like, he's also very alert. Yeah, he's very alert. He's, yeah. I'd say, like, reasonably protective.
Yeah.
Like, not, and I don't mean this to, like, try to, like, sugarcoat it. Like, he's not like, crazy protective of you, but he's pretty protective. You're his only girl. Right. And then he, like, is like, yeah, I'll drive you to the airport tonight.
Yeah. I mean, in the end, I know my dad wants me to be really happy, and I think he saw how much this meant to me. So, drives me to the airport, walking in my gate, get a FaceTime from my best friend, who's my maid of honor now. And she goes, hey, have you ever thought about maybe you're getting catfished? I was like, not until this very second when I'm about to step on my flight, but thank you so much. So I end up landing in Denver. Ben's at his restaurant, and I call him, and he doesn't answer. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, MK was right. I'm getting catfished, and I'm stuck in Denver, and I don't know anybody here. I don't know what to do. I'm, like, walking through the airport, which the Denver airport is huge, and I'm, like, I'm freaking out. I'm, like, this is so embarrassing. Everyone knew I was coming here to meet this guy, all this stuff. And then, you know, 2 minutes later, Ben calls me, and he's, like, got you an Uber. So then I get to his house, and
I was nervous. I was very nervous. Not – I was comfortable, but I was, like, excited, anxious, nervous. And you walked up, and you had an idea for how this first interaction was going to go in person.
Yeah, I had a joke prepared.
And I had an idea of how this interaction was going to happen very first.
Yeah, and yours was a little smoother than mine.
So she was going to tell me a joke. Tell him the joke.
I was just going to knock on his door because I'm at his house, and I was going to say, fancy seeing you here. I was all ready for it. I was like, this is going to be adorable.
And I just walked out and kissed her.
Yeah, which is probably, in the end, the better move.
And she brought me a bottle of, still this day, one of my top three favorite bourbons. It was a chicken cock special bottle. I think it's called, like, Special Reserve.
Yep.
Can't find it anymore.
Nope.
And I knew she was special. So I kissed her. We ended up having an amazing night. I think I want to pause this here, hon, because I think we can pretty much do this whole thing through our story. Yeah. One of the questions asked to us, so obviously, like, we're FaceTiming for hours at this point. We're both really anxious and very excited. And the question that was sent in to us is, what happens when that honeymoon phase ends? What's our plans for keeping a healthy relationship afterwards? Because obviously we don't FaceTime for hours. Even when we were doing long distance still, we weren't FaceTiming for hours at the end. I would say like the environment of our relationship changed, but the healthiness of it stayed the same. What are some ways that you think we did that, or that you've seen that happen, or what are some things that you really focused on to keep the love alive?
Yeah. I mean, I think in the beginning, especially when you're doing long distance, those hours of conversation are important because you're really getting to know this person. And when you're dating someone, it's an investment in like your emotion and your time. And I mean, even your money, because flying out or taking them on dates or whatever it is. So it's almost like you're just trying to figure this person out and see if they're worth it. So those hours are important. And then once you decide, you know, I actually really love this person or like this person, there's almost more of a security there, because it's like a mutual, like, we're going to pursue this together, and I don't need to talk to you every single second of the night to make sure that you're still into me. Like, I just know you are because of your actions and your words leading up to this point. So I think you get to like the security part of the relationship, and that's almost where it gets good, because then you're not like that anxiousness isn't there. Like, I still do get butterflies when I'm around Ben sometimes, but it's not anxious butterflies. It's just like, oh my gosh, he's so cute in a backwards hat.
I would 100% agree with you, because I'm not as good at like expressing my emotions. But I would say like there was a point in time where like my desire wasn't, and this is going to sound, but let me explain it. Like, my desire wasn't to FaceTime you for 3 hours every night.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't have that. Like, not because I didn't want to talk to you, but because it just didn't feel like necessary, or it just felt like we would sit in silence. And, you know, while life moved forward and my friends were out doing their thing, or while opportunities were existing, or while I could be investing into the people around me, you and I would just be sitting on FaceTime hanging out. And it almost felt like not a waste of time, but an unwise use of our time.
Well, and one of our rules in long distance was to never be sad or to like act like we missed each other all the time.
Explain that a little bit more, because I think that's an important note, because one of the questions was, what are some things that we had, like what are some rules we had for long distance relationships? And so if you want to like elaborate on that before you kind of go into it.
I'm going to finish this thought because it'll run away from me. But I was going to say, because of that rule, sitting on FaceTime for hours at that point would have been unhealthy, because like you said, like we would have just sat there and looked at each other and been like, I miss you. I'm so sad I'm not with you. Like, I'm so sad I'm not doing what you're doing or whatever, because we live in different places. So at that point, it's just unhealthy. But back to our rules, we kind of talked to some people that had done long distance before. And because neither of us were in a place where we were ready to move yet. I mean, we had been dating for, I don't know, not that long. Yeah. And I've always lived in Nashville. Ben has an incredible life in Denver. And so it was like, we're not getting to that point. We're not even going to talk about it. So we know we're going to do long distance. So we talked to people and they said like some good rules of thumb: never leave each other without a plan, which we did for 2 years. And that was great because we always knew when we would see each other next.
Yeah. I mean, and that didn't mean like, hey, I'm going to see you in 2 weeks. There's this period of time there where we went over a month without seeing each other, but at least we knew when it was going to happen and we were prepared for it.
Yeah. Like, we knew that was going to be a long time. And we were ready.
And this was my rule for us, because I knew, and we'll get to it in a second, I knew that you were somebody that was going to be in my life for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I thought you were the one that I was going to spend my life with. And I knew I was going to be sad every time you left. Like, I knew that was going to be there. And I knew we were going to be leaving each other a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew that we were not going to be spending like weeks together. We were not going to be going, you know, and seeing each other every weekend. Like, it just wasn't possible. So my request to our relationship was like, hey, can we never express sadness? Like, you can tell me if you're down and out. I can tell you if I'm down and out. But I had this fear that every time I was going to drop you off at the airport, we were both going to cry. I was going to have to watch you walk away crying. I was going to be broken. You were going to be broken. And that was going to exist until we saw each other again. It was like, but there's so much life in between the times that we're seeing each other. We can't be in this space of like pain all the time. Mm-hmm. So can we leave each other with the idea of like, I'm excited to see you again, was the request, is I cannot wait to see you again.
Yeah, which made for a really fun 2 years for my friends and my mom because they ended up getting the sadness. So that was great for them.
Yeah, but it was healthy for us.
Yeah.
Which it's working out, I guess. Okay, so we've covered a lot so far. You come out to Denver. We'll go back to you being out here in Denver. We have our first date, okay? Yes. The day after you get in, we meet up for our first date. It was funny. I had a Capital One event that morning, so you came to that. It was at a mall, and we were doing a Capital One like pop-up that just was already planned. You were great through it. You were very patient. It was hilarious because the people that were working it with it were like, who's this girl? And I was like, this is Jessica. This is our first date.
Yes, but they gave me snacks and coffee, so I was totally fine. I just sat and ate and drank.
And then when that was all done, it was probably about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you and I drove to a little spot in Evergreen, Colorado called Willow Creek. And we sat there.
It's around, okay, let me set the scene. Okay. It's around Christmas time. I'm a Christmas fanatic. Like, in 3 weeks' time, when Thanksgiving is over, we're putting up Christmas lights immediately when we get back from our honeymoon.
And we're going to be married, so I feel like that's now my job to put them up at the house.
Yeah, we're getting a tree, we're getting lights, we're decorating the tree
day
after Thanksgiving. That's my thing. I love Hallmark Christmas movies. He takes me to this restaurant that is decorated for Christmas. It sits on a frozen lake. There's like ice skaters out. Like, it looks like a Hallmark movie. And I am, like, if I wasn't smitten with him, I'm like, oh man, I'm marrying this guy. Like, he knows me so well. I think it was a total accident that he did that. But I'm like, this is my heaven.
We got a bottle of wine and a bucket of French fries. It's a nice restaurant. If anybody's out in Denver, this is a great date spot. We sat by the fire.
Yep.
And we ended up sitting there for over 3 hours and talking about life. And like one of those like sacred moments where it feels like you can really be where your feet are. Like you want to just, there's no place you want to be other than right there in that moment, at least for me. And so one of the questions that came up was, how did you know Jessica was the one? Or how did you know that Ben was the one? Like, how do you know? And I think that's a really complex question because I think it happens over time too. Yeah. But this would have been the first, you know, I've shared this story many times and I shared it here and even in this relationship podcast, but my dad always gave me the advice of you just know.
Yeah.
And as funny as that seems, that moment rang true for me. Like I sat across the table from somebody that I just knew at that moment that like this was either going to be one of the most beautiful things that's ever existed in my life or one of the hardest things because of how much I was going to feel for you in that moment.
I agree. I mean, I shared with you at that lunch things that I was terrified to ever share with any other guy. I mean, we talked about like my eating disorder. We talked about so many things that I was just, and you just looked at me and accepted all of it. I've never had that happen. And yeah, I think in that moment when we were sitting at that lunch, it was like, okay, I think I'm either going to marry him or like never be able to get over him.
Mm. Well, yeah, I would feel the same way. And I'm glad we don't have to get over each other.
Yeah.
So that first date ends and you go back to Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I stay in Denver. At that point in time, we had committed to being a couple. Like, we knew that this was going to be something. I didn't want to date anybody else. You didn't want to date anybody else. And that sounds crazy. Like, hey, your first date, you're doing this. But we had led up for weeks of talking before this. And I also knew just how incredible of a person you are. You've worked really hard on saving your heart for somebody special. And that you're fragile. Like, I didn't want to break you. I knew that you weren't just somebody I could just date. And be like, sorry, I'm going to date tomorrow night. You cool with that? Like,
oh, I would not have been cool with that.
Yeah. So we decided that, hey, if we're going to give this thing a shot, and we both really wanted to, then this is going to be something we invested into, and we were done dating. And so we're done dating at that point. You go back to Nashville, Tennessee. We've talked about how to make long-distance relationships work. But I would love for you here in a second, because one of the other questions written in was, when you are doing long distance and things get hard, who do you lean on, and how did you lean on them to help get through that period of life?
I leaned a lot on my friends. A lot of my friends are in really healthy relationships, specifically one of them. She got married to her husband after 2 or 3 years of long distance dating, and they had a really complicated long distance dating. He traveled a lot for work. He was gone a lot. And they didn't get to see each other very often. And she had the best perspective on long distance and a healthy marriage and kind of dating for the long term in that sense. And so I called her a lot. I texted her a lot. She gave me so much wise advice and made me feel so much better. One of the things she said on a really hard day where I was like, I just don't even, like, this situation sucks. I hate not seeing him. This is so hard. And she was like, okay, well, I get it. But the alternative is that you're with someone that's not been. Is that worth it? And I was like, absolutely not. And I think after she asked me that question, my perspective changed on those hard times. Because it was like, I would choose a hard day or a hard week or 6 weeks of not seeing him to be with him over not being with him.
And I think, you know, for me there too, I just never doubted this was going to be something special. Mm-hmm. And so there were moments like, you know, trips or ski trips or things like that, that I'd be like, I want her here for this. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be experiencing this with somebody. But at the same time, I think that advice is perfect, is when it comes down to it and you're looking this person in the eyes and you know who this person is and you know that the situation is not ideal and you know that both people don't really love the situation you're in, but it's just is the wise and necessary thing as you continue to take the steps in your relationship, would you trade any of the pain of being separated for a period of time mm-hmm. for not being with them at all?
No.
No question. No. No question. And now we can sit back and say, oh yeah, it all makes sense, right? We're here and we're in Denver and we get to spend a lot of time together and we get to share those memories together. And like, you know, yes, I very vividly remember our long distance period of life, but it's also a little bit of a blur in my mind now because it was leading up to this moment where, you know, now we're a few days away from getting married and like, we're not going to be apart. You know, we're going to
ever.
Be... Okay. Well, that was another question written in, and it's a good time to pause and talk about it. You know, there's a lot of questions about how do you give your partner space, you know, especially now that we are in the same city, we're getting married. It's important for us to respect that space and respect each other's interests. It's something that right away in our relationship I made very clear to you is, hey, I've been fairly single for a lot of my life. I've also been living alone in Denver for 8 years. You're going to be moving out to Denver. We're going to be getting married. Hun, I'm going to tell you right now, like, there's some like things in my life that I'm going to have to give up in terms of like my desire to just be alone and operate alone. But I also know that I'm going to still need that because that's been the fuel to my first 30 years of life because I'm an only child too. Like, I'm used to being alone. And so there's something very clear that I wanted to communicate with you is like, I need that. And I need to know that if we're going to do this thing that you're going to have to like, that you're going to be down to like help me in that too.
And honestly, I love being alone. So I think it works really well. I don't mind. Like, one of Ben's favorite hobbies is golfing. As many of you know, if you are a golf wife, they will be gone for 6-7 hours. You don't know what's going on. I love that. When I have a day at the house where I can just chill and read, and then it makes – and I maybe dating long distance contributes to this, but then when you come home, it's, like, so fun to see you. Like, I don't mind being alone, and – I really respect that about Ben, that he knows that he needs his alone time too. So I think like open communication about that, like he did tell me right off the bat, like if we're going to do this, like I know how important his friends are and his hobbies, and I don't want to take those things away from him. Like my job as his partner is to amplify his life, not make him feel like he has to give things up or that he's less of himself. I want to see him the most full version of himself. And I've told him multiple times, if he needs to go away for a couple of weekends a year, I would rather have him back at 100% full than have him here every weekend at like 50%. So I don't mind it. And I think a lot of that does come from just communication of how the other person operates. Because I've never once thought, oh, he just wants to be away from me, or this is more important than me. It's like, no, this is who he is and this is what he needs. So I think kind of talking about like, hey, you know what? I actually do need like just a couple hours every week to myself. It has nothing to do with you. It's just that's how I'm going to be the best version of myself. I think that's important.
Yeah, it's interesting too because, you know, it's one of the things that, you know, when people ask me like, what do you really love about your relationship with Jessica? Like that's one of the first things that come to my mind because you've respected that in me and you've never made me feel guilty for it because it's never been about I need to get away from Jessica. Like that's never been a feeling, and if it was, then that's something I should probably communicate with you is like, yeah, I just feel like I need space from you, like, and I don't know why, or maybe I do know why I need space from you, so can we talk through this?
And then I would cry and then it would be the worst conversation, but we'd get through it.
But you know, for me, I'm an internal processor. I don't think well. I don't react well to most things. I need to sit in those things in silence. I need to think through my thoughts. I need to process through my thoughts. I need to try to make sense of why I'm feeling what I'm feeling, or maybe there's a hard work day and something's going on at Generous, and I just need some time just to be like, okay, this thing came up. Why is it coming up? What were the things that caused it? And I don't talk it out well. I don't, at least initially. And so I need some time, some space to do that. So that's one of the reasons. The second is, like you said, friends are really important to me. I have some incredible people in my life. And I need them to know that I'm always there for them. And I need them to show me they're always there for me. And there's things you can do with friends that you can't do with your spouse, right?
Yes,
there's absolutely. There's this like, I don't know, this level of just like, I'm just going to be silly and there's going to be no responsibility and we're going to watch football or we're going to golf. But with you, like, when I'm around you, I have that feeling of, like, comfort and relaxation also. But there's also this, like, when I'm around you, like, I'm here to support you and look for where you need, like, where your needs are. And sometimes after months of that consistently, like, you're just, I just need to go with my friends and, like, watch a football game.
Some other advice I've gotten about a relationship is, and this was from my mom, I can't expect for Ben to be my boyfriend and my girlfriend, not in the romantic sense, but like girls, like if I were to call one of my girlfriends and start to tell them about something like emotional or you know, I can't believe that this happened, like they're gonna give me the reaction I want. Ben is not, because he's not a girl, and he isn't on the same like he said, he's an internal processor, so he's not going to give me the reaction that I want. And then I'm going to be like, but I'm, then it's going to make me sad. So like, there are some things that I just have to bring to a girlfriend, or there are some things that I have to do with a girlfriend. Like I love going on long walks, and like Ben likes it, but like, it's so much more fun with a girlfriend sometimes. And
so
I like to get,
talk.
Yeah, I like to get my nails done and Ben's not going to come get his nails done with me. Like there are just things that you just need girls for. And there are things that Ben needs guys for. Like, I can only handle so many, like, fart jokes. Like, it gets to a point where it's just not funny anymore, babe.
Yeah, I get it. I'm pretty funny, though. The other thing your mom shared with us, because our parents' relationship is different in the sense that, like, my parents weren't away from each other very often. They were away from me. Like, they did trips. It would leave me, you know, with somebody back home, or growing up, like they would go, they would always have a blast together. And your parents did the same thing. Like they really enjoy each other, but your dad traveled for work most weeks and he would be gone for 2 or 3 days. And your mom, you know, told with me, like that was one of the healthiest things in our relationship, because he'd be gone. They would never look at it as this like burden or this, oh my gosh. You know, she would never have made him feel guilty for needing to go off and do the responsibilities that he is committed to doing or the things that he needs to be doing. But when he, like, it would make them miss each other a little bit.
Yep.
And so, like, they would have that, he would walk through the door from the airport and, like, that excitement to go and give him a hug and a kiss. Where, you know, for my parents, my dad could walk through the front door and, like, nobody would even say anything to him because he was there every day. You know, like, we loved him and we'd spend a ton of time together, but it wasn't this like, oh my gosh, he's home from work. He's been gone for 6 hours.
Yeah.
It was never that feeling in our house.
Yeah.
And you know, they had their own individual dance. Like they made that work. They're making it work in incredible ways. But for us, and especially in this new time in human life, we're going to have to be away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And like for us, it's again, going back to kind of the lessons we learned in our long distance relationship. don't do it in sadness. Don't make the other person feel guilty for needing to go do these things. Just be excited for when they come home. Mm-hmm. Totally. And I think that's a huge note for a healthy relationship, is to have that undertone as best you can. There's going to be bad days. We've had our bad days where, you know, we've maybe let the sadness seep in, or we've let like the heaviness of the situation overcome our overall like feelings in our relationship. But if as much as you can, keep things positive, support the person well, know that you're there because you're their best teammate, their biggest supporter, to let them know with confidence that when they walk out the door, be it for a day, a week, or whatever they need to be out that door for, say they have to take a trip overseas for 3 weeks, that they have full confidence that their relationship is so intact and so supported and so loved that they are the best and biggest versions of themselves. Because you know, and I know this about you and me, like you can crush me. Like you could destroy me, right?
I'm so strong.
Well, because I love you. But like if I walked out that door every time with a feeling of guilt, yeah. Oh my gosh, I got to go work again. Oh my gosh, I got to go do this errand and she doesn't want me to go do it. It would crush me. Like I would not operate well because I love you and I want to always have that sensitivity towards our relationship where you could hurt me, right? Like I always want to be open to the idea that my heart is fully like available to you. And like that is a responsibility that when we stand up and make our vows, like I'm committing to you to respect that and you're committing to me to respect that, that like you understand that we hold each other close and that I just want to make you feel like the best and biggest version all the time. This week's episode of Hope Still Wins is brought to you by Generous International. Generous International is a company that I co-founded. Generous donates 100% of profits to nonprofits fighting human-facing injustice. So every bag of coffee bought, every cup of coffee drink is going back to make the world a better place. Generous is best known for selling coffee, specialty grade coffee. So it's some of the best coffee in the world. You're going to drink coffee anyways. And like we like to say, why not make it life-changing coffee? Well, you can visit Generous at generouscoffee.com. Please go out today and check out Generous Coffee. There's a couple things that came up, and I'm just going to like spitfire them because at this point in our relationship, we are now together, we're dating, we're figuring out. And like, that's an exciting time, but there's not a lot of stuff happening, right? Our honeymoon phase maybe has phased off a bit. We're now more investing into who we are as people, being good partners to each other, trying to support each other the best we can. But that limbo period from, you know, month three to a year was just us trying to figure out if we're going to be good partners to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And how our relationship would progress and when we wanted to and all of those things.
Yeah, start having those conversations at some point, like, where do you see this going? What are our plans for the future? At some point, it just felt healthy. We obviously, within that period of time, you told me you love me. Yeah.
He thought about it, and then he said it back.
I said it back. And so that was a big step, but not a shocker to either of us. Yeah. And so we made it. And so I'm going to put you in the hot seat for a second. We'll answer some of these questions that were sent in at this point in the relationship was, when you start to identify red flags, how do you see red flags as things that should be relationship enders or just things to work through?
Honestly, run them by someone outside of the relationship, I think, because usually, like, your friends and your family are going to be honest with you and be like, you know what? That sounds like a character issue and something that might never change about him. And you need to take that into consideration. Other times, they're going to be like, you're being emotional and crazy, and that's not a red flag, and you just need to get over it, kind of thing, or talk it out or express it. So I always lean on people that know more than me, that have been through more than me, that kind of see it from a different perspective and that genuinely care about me. Like, I wouldn't take it to like one of my clients that I've met four times, it would be like my mom that's known me since I was a baby, or some of my best friends that are like sisters.
I've said this, like, you know, I had a period in our life where I was excited about the idea of proposing to you and spending a life with you. Yet I had this weird underlying fear of like, my life is about to change completely, right? Because I've been known by most people for the last 6 years of my life as somebody single. Yeah. And my identity was wrapped around that in a lot of, if I liked it or not, my identity was wrapped around the idea of being single. And to be honest, the last 6 years of my life leading up to, you know, the amazing future we're about to have was super fun. Yeah. Very exciting. There was always something new. There was always somebody wanting something from me and inviting me to something. And so I picked, you know, three friends in my life, really, and my family, and said, like, they committed to this early on in our friendship of they're always going to be good confidants to me. I was going to trust them. They were going to keep my secrets. They were going to help me process my deepest and heaviest thoughts. But I also kind of narrowed that down for our relationship. And I called my buddy Corey and I said, Corey, I'm having this concern. And I don't know what life looks like married. I always thought I wanted to be married. I do want to be married. I love Jessica. But like, I just don't know what life is going to look like for me. And I called him and he told me something absolutely incredible. He said, Ben, the life you've had has been very exciting, but it hasn't been as fulfilling as what a future with Jessica will look like. And do you want exciting or do you want fulfilling? And I was like, I want fulfilling. And so like, yes, there's going to be things that change in my life. There's still many things exciting to come. There's still many, but they're just going to look different, right? Yeah. And they're going to be less selfish. And I think for me, I had to get over the idea of how selfish I was because I was living alone. I was a single guy. Like, I'm bringing somebody else into my life. You're bringing somebody else into yours. And I was going to have to, like, rip away some of the selfish things and selfish tendencies that I knew I had and that I wasn't necessarily, didn't know if I was ready for. But as soon as he said that I was ready, so I'd agree with you, is in those moments, like, pick a small group of people that you ask them to just be that trustworthy person in your life, to be there for you so that you can throw some thoughts off of. Because trust me, there's going to be nights where you're going crazy because you love this person so much and your emotions are all wrapped up in weird thoughts and you can't get out of your own head and you just need to bounce it off of somebody so they can tell you you're being crazy. Yeah. Or, hey, you're spot on. Talk to her about this. Yeah. And if there's red flags, like big red flags, I hope you have people in your life that would tell you, yes, these are things that you can't invest into. Yeah. And like, these are relationship breakers. Yeah. Or they're just small things, you know, yeah, like, you know, we don't put the dishes away the same way. Yeah. Like, that's okay. We'll work through that. We're going to figure that one out, you know?
Yeah, that one's still going on.
So, I'm going to take a second and answer a few questions that were asked to me personally. And this one is important because I think, what is at the middle? The question is this: what is at the base of your relationship with Jessica? And I think the easy answer there is Jesus. But I hear that in church often, and it just feels like it falls short. Because what is that, like, what does exactly that mean? And, you know, Jessica and I both believe that there is a God that loves humans, that cares for humans, that is invested into human life, that exists around us right now. Like, that is a thing that we believe, not because it sounds good and feels good, but because it's something that we in our life have seen. And I believe, and we believe, that love has been the only thing that's made sense, not just a romantic love, but a universal love has been the only thing that will make sense for humanity or in the environment or people, a love towards others and a love towards God. And so at the center of our relationship, at the center of everything that we do, it is Jesus. And that always comes from a place of love. And so when we pray at dinner together, we always pray for us to be more aware of the outsider, to love God and love others. And so in a sense, that's also then what draws us closer together, I believe, is that when we're loving God, loving others, which includes loving each other well and keeping that in focus, then everything else seems to fall into place. It's not always easy. It doesn't always come naturally, but it is the basis of everything that we do. everything gets filtered in our relationship through decisions that we make for our relationship, decisions we make for a career, decisions we make for what friends we're going to go see or what's healthiest for us. It always comes from a place of love and understanding that God just wants for us to be the biggest and best versions of ourselves so that we can go out and be the best and biggest versions of ourselves for others and to always continue to look for the outsider. And so at the center of all of it, it is Jesus, but it's a lot more complex than probably what most explain it as. And I think for Jessica and I, it's been the thing that's kept us together, you know, because of God's love for us. I look at Jessica and I want to hold her close. I don't want to hurt her. I don't want to stray from her. I'm committing to her. You know, if I didn't want to do that, if I didn't want to hold that responsibility, I wouldn't marry Jessica. But because of my belief that there is a God that holds us accountable, that calls us to a higher level, that calls us to love people well and hold people high, like that is one more, I guess, like filter in which like I know that like I'm going to stay committed to her for the rest of my life because I believe there is an accountability to that, and it's an exciting accountability because, again, I don't want to break her because she is a child of God. And if I didn't feel that in my heart, like I might just ask Jessica to date me forever. But no, I want to hold that responsibility. I want to be held to a place of a higher standard so that I could be that best partner for her. And as we said in the singleness series, we don't believe everybody needs to get married.
Yeah.
We don't. Like, it's a gift, I think, and I'm seeing that more and more as we walk closer and closer to that day. But not everybody needs to get married because that's a whole new calling, a whole new thing. Singleness is a beautiful, beautiful season of life, and it might just need to be your season of life if you can't make that commitment to somebody.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about why, you know, the covenant we're making, the promise we're making, how important it is to stand up in front of people and say it. And yeah, the accountability, and also just Ben is my teammate. And I think that that's a big thing in marriage too. Like, we're going to take on this life together and see what we can do to change or help the world as partners as opposed to on our own.
Love it, hon. Okay, final questions for you. We'll take these. We still have a couple questions on being engaged that we're going to get to. But these are going to be short answers. We won't elaborate as much. But besides date nights, because we've talked about needing to spend time apart, and I don't think we touched on it, and this is a question. Besides date nights, how do you make time for the other person with your busy lifestyle?
Whenever we can, we have dinner together. Not just on a date night, but at home. And I'm very careful to make sure my phone is away during those dinners, unless I'm showing like a video or, you know, something that happened during my day. But I think like when you are together, when you have those like times together, whether it's going to get coffee or lunch, like actually being there and looking the person in the eyes and like taking in every moment as opposed to being distracted. Or, you know, I've been through my season where I've been really flustered and haven't even wanted to like take 1 second to sit down with Ben because I have 1,000 things to do. And like, that was not good for our relationship. So I think it's been learning also, but yeah, it's important to, when you do have those moments together, whether it's 5 minutes or 5 hours, to actually be there looking at the person in the eyes.
Mm-hmm. It's also the follow-up question to that was, how do you keep the spark alive? And I'd say that's the same thing, is we have intentional time together where it's the two of us.
Yeah.
You know, doing something. We were talking last night at dinner, like, what are our hobbies that we share? We don't share a lot of hobbies. Like,
alone time.
Alone time. But we don't share a lot of hobbies. Like, we don't have a lot of things that we do. You know, you work, you love to exercise. I like to exercise, even though my knee hasn't allowed it recently. But one of those things is just spending time together. And that sounds like kind of boring, but it is. Like, when we're together, we're focused on each other. We're talking through life's biggest issues with each other, and we're doing it in a way that hopefully like uplifts us. And I find that enjoyable. Like, I find it fun. I also find it, you know, I don't know, on a work day, especially, something like I need, and you need, is for us just to, hey, let's not like go out and do this crazy activity tonight that's going to put us, you know, even more tired for tomorrow. It's going to be, let's just like sit by the fire and talk life for a bit. That's, and then on the weekends, you know, we'll, you know, we get to live in Denver, so maybe it's going up the mountains. Maybe it's riding a bike. It's exploring. We have a puzzle that we're about to start doing together. Like, it's just the small things, and I think it's less of the activity and more of the intention behind it.
That sounds like we're like an old boring couple, but one of the things being with Ben has taught me is asking really curious questions, like questions that aren't the first ones to come to mind. And that makes it really exciting because I feel like every day I learn something new about him or like what he desires from our relationship just by like actually paying attention to what he's saying and asking intentional questions. And that's something I've never really done before because, I don't know, I just haven't. So I think that's made it exciting too. Like those nights where we're just sitting and chatting are some of the best nights ever.
Yeah. So to sum up the, you know, some of the interest questions, is it important for you and your partner to have the same interests? Yes, I think it's very important, but it's also, those interests don't have to be elaborate. Yeah. They don't have to be like these crazy things. Like we love to travel together. Great. Not everybody has the ability to travel because they love it. Right. Yeah. It's just your interest, I think, align. And like my interest is in the life that we're living, in you and helping all of us like move to a healthier place. And then also like, yeah, shaking up a bit and having a lot of fun. And like, you know, for example, went to the Van Gogh exhibit. That was awesome. You love Van Gogh. We booked that out a month in advance. We were looking for that. We planned a whole night around that. It was incredible. And that's just a special night. And those things come up, but they just don't exist all the time.
Yeah.
And you don't always have the finances to help them exist all the time. Sometimes the best you can do is, hey, we're going to cook dinner at home. We're going to turn off all the TVs. We're going to turn off all of our phones. And we're just going to sit in this moment together for as long as we can, like need. Okay. A couple more here. And I think I'm going to be the best to answer this. But you please chirp in. The question is, how do you handle scars from past relationships showing up in your current relationship?
Yeah, you got that one.
Yeah. You know, Jessica's story is you dated a lot. You had a lot of first dates. You had a couple people that like definitely pulled at your heart. But overall, you didn't have like some like really like keynote past relationship that destroyed you.
Yeah. Overall, I was called the one date wonder.
Yeah, you were great at the one dates. Yeah. You know, for me, obviously, that looks a little different. So I think at first, it's easy because you're just exploring this new relationship. Then as you start to share your heart with somebody and you start to spend more time with somebody, you start to see the tendencies or the fears kind of come up that maybe existed in past relationships. And I was encouraged by this by a friend of mine, and it's something that I've tried to do. Is like, they told me, you're asking Jessica to love every piece of you, which includes those past scars. And so she needs to know those past scars. And once you become confident enough in your relationship, and there's some wisdom to this too, onto how far you go, but I want Jessica to know why I'm fearful of this or why I'm a little bit, like, I have some insecurities about this. I want her to know that, like, that comes from a past place and so that she's aware of it. And so for us, I think it goes back to just like, it's hard conversations oftentimes because it usually is talking about somebody in the past. They're not fun, but they're healthy. And I've never felt like we've come out of them in a worse place. Mm-hmm. Is they're not always ideal and they should not be happening all the time. There's some wisdom to the timing and some wisdom to the place of it. But we deal with my past scars and Jessica's past scars in a lot of level just with her life. By sitting down and being focused on trying to explain why it is we're feeling what we're feeling and knowing that that person across the table from you is going to be your biggest supporter and fan and they need to know this about you.
Yeah, and I think that, like, Ben addressing a lot of his insecurities has alleviated a lot of mine, honestly, because there have been some things where I'm like, I just don't understand, like, why he won't do this or he does this all the time or he won't open up about this or why he always brings these things up. And, you know, I would assume that it was my fault. But then when he opens up and he's like, no, this is what happened in my past, it makes me realize it's not my fault, but I can be there for him and we can walk through it together.
Definitely. No, that's a great point. Okay. Three last questions on dating. Then we'll speed through the engagement. This has been awesome, hon. Really enjoy this with you.
Me too.
The question is, and this is always a hard one, is, you know, somebody's out there and they're single and looking, and I encourage anybody to go back and listen to our singleness episode that Jessica and I did to talk up, to really dive into this a bit. But how do you hold out faithfulness that somebody else will be out there for you? And the truth is that that might not be always the case. And that's the hard truth. But the second truth of that is, if you're single and you're looking, don't stop looking. And you're going to find somebody, hopefully, that's the hope, but it's not the promise, that you'll find somebody within that season of your life as you are single and looking and desiring, that does bring peace and joy and hope and understanding, and a healthiness to your life. And I think, you know, you could look at 1,000 different things. Like, obviously, I was very attracted to you. I am very attracted to you. That's the thing that made me Instagram message you, like your picture. It was just simply a physical attraction at that point. But over time, I would say my attraction to you is, yes, I still find you absolutely gorgeous, but it's also who you are as a human. And I think it's really important for people as they're dating to look past some of those like initial, like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if this person was by my side because they look so good, and more of, what does this person do to me internally when they're by my side? What confidence do they give me? And I think that's really important in dating, is to try to filter through that. And maybe a lot of the honeymoon phase is just about like, oh, this person is so beautiful. This person is so great. But we're all going to age. We're all going to get older. And what's left there is who you are internally. Yeah. And that's the thing that sustained us. So the next is, and these kind of wrap up together, is how do you deal with conflict, or how do you best communicate when frustrated and hurt? And I'll let you take that.
We deal with conflict really differently. So I think we've gotten a lot of these tips from other people that are a lot more wise than us, and a lot of people actually in this relationship series too. But I think it's important to approach conflict with empathy, and to kind of, I try and put myself in Ben's position, because a lot of times our conflict will come from my response to things, or being, you know, I'll be lead with an emotion that isn't fair to him, or I'll read too much into something, or something like that. So kind of putting myself in Ben's position and saying, if I were him, how would I take that? Or how would I think that, how would I assume she's thinking, or something like that? And that helps me a lot, because then I think I can take some of the emotion out of it and really just try to communicate my feelings. The other thing is, like, I've never felt judged by Ben when I have communicated my feelings. He's always given me so much grace and understanding. And maybe, like, us, you know, we process things differently, and he, sometimes I process more slowly and he processes internally. And so sometimes we don't get the instant reaction that we want, but in the end we can come to a resolution because we have this open communication with each other. And I just know he's never going to judge me for my feelings or my responses. He's going to love me through it.
Yeah. And to also, like, that's not always like natural. No. Like, it sounds like, oh, that's just like a natural. No, sometimes like you have to sit in silence and be like, okay, like you said, what is she trying to tell me? Mm-hmm. This is frustrating me.
Yeah.
Like, it's getting more frustrating. So what is she trying to tell me? And like, how do I want her to hear my reaction? Mm-hmm. And like, if any point my mind, and like, it's, and it happens where you're like, I want her to feel the pain of this situation. Like, you have to shut those thoughts down. You have to turn it, because that's evil. That's not healthy. And so you turn it to, okay, now I need to take a break. I'm not in a good place here. I know that, like, for whatever reason, I'm not healthy in this conversation. And I don't want her to ever feel down and out because she's trying to tell me something. And so, like, let's take away that initial reaction of like, and I'm sure this happens long when you get longer in your relationship, right? We've talked to a lot of couples, and a lot of couples are like, I don't like my husband, or I don't like my wife. And like, I want them to know that. It's like, well, okay, maybe you should tell them that. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that's the first step here, is I like don't like you right now, and I want to like you. I don't want to be in a marriage where I don't like the other person. But your communication has gotten so far off, and anytime it does start to happen where there's a conflict, it's always coming from that place of, I don't like you. You never try to fix it. You never try to change it. You never try to work through it. And I think that's important too, is to know that, like, hey, if you're having these like initial reactionary thoughts over certain situations that don't feel healthy and that are making you question who you are as a human, that's okay. But then who do you want to be to your partner? Who are you trying to be to your partner? Who do you want your partner to see you as? Do they want to see you as a place that you can't come and communicate to them? Or do they want to see you as a safe place to help them, support them, love them, get to know them fully? And that's what I want. You know, I don't want 3 months of us not talking. That doesn't sound ideal.
No, that wouldn't be fun at all.
So, okay. We're going to move in now to about 5 questions on being engaged. Some of these are super easy and super fun. And some of them are a little heavier, okay? But we don't have much longer in our engagement season of life. No. But it's been a great season of life for us, mm-hmm. for a lot of reasons. We got engaged in March of 2020. Mm-hmm. So we've been engaged for a long time. That wasn't exactly a preference. It was placed on us due to the pandemic, due to timing of everything. But I'm personally looking here now with 2 weeks or with 4 days left until we get married, and I'm very happy with our season of engagement. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's been super fun. I've learned a lot. It's been really good for us to live in the same city before we got married, which wasn't also the original plan. I wasn't going to move to Denver till like a month before the original time I wanted to marry Ben. And I think that this season of life where we've been in the same place and kind of learned each other's daily habits and all of those things has been really important.
One of the questions that I want to touch on, because I think it's something that just nobody talks about, especially within the Christian world, is do I believe it's healthy to live together while you're engaged? And Jessica and I obviously spend a lot of time together. We're in the same city. I am at a point, and I want to answer this question a year from now, but I think it's really important, I guess, to answer that health in a healthy way would be to learn the tendencies, to work through some of the big issues of life before you get married. I think some of the small, like we've talked to a couple couples who didn't live together before they got married. We talked to couples that have lived together before they got married. And one of the things that continues to come up is, you know, there's just all these new things, like how you load the dishwasher, how you do your laundry, how you keep a place clean, you know, all those things. And I just think those, the best you can learn those things about the person so that it's not a shocker week one, you know, like week one of marriage, like is going to be hard enough and exciting enough and thrilling enough. And so however you have to do that in your relationship, I'm not going to say you need to live together. I'm not going to say it's important to live together. I'm not going to say it's important not to live together. What I'm saying is I think it's really important for you to take a deep interest and a deep curiosity into how your partner lives life in the smallest of ways, and to try to figure that out however your living dynamic is.
Yeah, I agree.
So that was one of the questions. The next is, what are some of the important topics? And for the sake of time, hon, maybe just like a list here that we discussed before and after getting engaged.
I mean, we talked about, do we want kids, being on the same page there. Talked about kind of our goals for the future and the same idea of I need to be alone, I need to do these things, I have these dreams, and supporting each other in those. So kind of going through your dreams with one another. And I think also talking about where you're going to live, if you're open to moving, if you're open to ever moving again once you live in one place. Kind of our goals for our families also, our parents and our siblings, and spending time with them. One thing actually that solved a lot of conflict, or that I've seen a lot of people have conflict about that we haven't because we talked about it, is holidays and how we're going to do holidays with our families. And we established that right away.
Well, yeah. And then plans have changed a bit, but we're still, you know, this year we're going to do Christmas with both my parents and your brothers and your sister-in-law together, which is really exciting. But we've talked it out. Like months ago, we had that. And it wasn't the easiest of conversations to try to logistically figure out how you're going to do that. But we have also the benefit that both sides of our family also respects and understands that it's not easy to navigate the holidays and when you're going to spend time with somebody.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, I'm not going to say it was like super simple. And it didn't also have like some things that we both had to give up in that conversation of like, this is how I want it, right? Because it just feels like the way it's always been. But this life that we're entering into is not going to be the way that it's always been. So what can we compromise on?
Yeah, like being flexible with things, like even this year, like, and being open with your families too. I think that blending two families outside of you two is also really hard. And so making sure that you're talking to them about, you know, we want to see you, visit you, all those things.
Okay. I would also add to that a couple things we talked about outside of like those big things. Would just be, you know, like this is probably going to sound old school, but it's not. I actually think it's very progressive, but like roles and responsibilities.
Yeah.
What things can I take care of? What things can you take care of? What things can we take care of together in our life? What does life look like for us in the future? What are your dreams? I think was important through the engagement period is like, you know, as I enter into a relationship with you and a marriage with you, what do you dream of? Those dreams might change over time, but like, how can I best support you in this season? Because I am committing to a whole new level of responsibility. And I want to know where you're at in life. I think those were important conversations. And then a lot of the last couple of months have been wedding planning.
Yep.
And a lot of the conversations through this engagement period has been like, you know, who's coming to our wedding? Who's not coming to our wedding? What food are we going to offer at the wedding? What music is going to be playing? So a lot of our evenings, you know, consist of that. But then there's the behind the scenes of all of this is for you and I know we both want to try to get off on the best start for our marriage. So the question that was written in, like, how have we been preparing for marriage individually during this engagement season?
I feel like I've said this before, but not on this specific podcast. But definitely talking to other married couples, getting their advice, talking to my friends, like, what was the hardest thing about marriage? Like, give me the realistic expectations I need to have, because the church and movies and books romanticize marriage, and I know it's going to be hard. So, like, walk me through, like, some of those really, really hard times of marriage, and, like, what can I expect, you know? And so that's been really good. And then I've been doing several little prayer books of like praying for my husband, praying for our marriage, walking through those things and just really spending time with the Lord in that of, you know, prepare my heart, let me be a patient wife, a humble wife, a loving wife. Like, what does that look like in a biblical context, but also in the context of just a healthy marriage where I'm not holding things over his head and I'm not doing some of these things that I've seen, you know, couples do. So that's what I've been doing.
Yeah. And I think for me, similar, right? Talking to people, preparing those things. I think for me also, it's trying to get my heart, like I said earlier, like one of my biggest things was my selfishness and my deep-seated selfish tendencies. And to know that like I didn't want to enter into our marriage with those things being at the forefront of who I was. So it's identifying those, writing those things down, processing those things, and then trying to like identify them when they come up again. Cause it's not just like going to go away. It takes work. It takes time. It takes commitment to that. And so that's been a lot of my focus is like, I want to enter into our marriage as the best possible partner I can be given where I'm at in life and working through that individually so that you feel that, know that, and understand that. That's been one. And then the follow-up question that was spiritually, what have you done to grow in this season? And I would say as a couple together, you know, as I just mentioned earlier, like Jesus at the base of our relationship, and I explained what that actually meant when you expand upon it. One of the things is we pray for us to have eyes outside of ourselves. Those, you know, pray for us to look for the outsider, look for the one hurting, to love God and love others. That prayer also encompasses like me having eyes for Jessica and Jessica having eyes for me, and spiritually seeing that. I also want to tell a quick story if I can, but my buddy was diagnosed with ALS about a month ago, and so they pushed up their wedding to this a couple weeks back, and he was a friend of mine who had a rough go at it for a while, and he ended up moving in with me a few years ago, and he and I would sit on the couch, and I remember many nights about two nights in particular, we would just be on the couch praying, because we didn't know what else to do at this point, for him to have a partner, for a partner to love him and support him and care for him, because he wanted to be a father and he wanted to be a husband. It was his dream, and he was going to be great at it. And he just felt like he was missing the mark on all of it. Like, there was nobody out there. And then this girl came into his life, Sam, and she has allowed him to be all the things we talk about, the biggest and best version of himself. He's a goofy dude. He's very outgoing. He says ridiculous stuff. And she's tamed him in wisdom and love, but also allowed him to still be his goofy, weird, incredibly joyful self. And we were at their wedding this week, and obviously there was emotions around it because of his recent diagnosis. And we still hold out a lot of hope that that's going to, you know, be something that he conquers and gets over. But I looked at her, and I was able to do a co-best man speech, and I was just like, if this is an example of God's love to here, like, and commitment to us, is like, God placed you in his life, Sam, and I hope she feels like that blessing. And so some of this also, to answer that question, is how have we grown during this season of engagement spiritually? It's to identify where God is showing up. And we won't always identify every way God is showing up, but like, to celebrate the ways that God has shown up in our life and the lives of those around us into the world that we see. That's helped me grow spiritually, because it's no longer just about me. It's about bringing you into this, me coming into your life, and continuing to always recognize that for us, the only way that we're going to have a healthy marriage is to have Jesus at the center, and to see where Jesus has already been through our relationship and relationships of others around us. So that's been another thing. Okay. Fairly easy question for us, at least for me. You might disagree. How to navigate and build a relationship with the future in-laws?
Oh, it's easy. Your parents are the best. I think being intentional and spending time with them, like, not just saying, oh, they're my in-laws, but like, let's go visit them when they're here. Like, let's sit and talk to them. Let's do these activities with them. You're really good about including your parents in your life. So right off the bat, I feel like I knew I was going to have a relationship with them, and you are very intentional to spend time with your parents. We're able to do that. And then with my parents, you might disagree, but we quarantined at their house during COVID. And so you kind of just got to know them.
Yeah.
Right then and there.
And it's also including now your parents in our life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's keeping them both involved, because we want them involved. It's not out of responsibility or necessity. It's like, we just want that to be the case. Mm-hmm. We want family to be around. We want them to know what's going on. We want, and when given the right circumstances, we want to be able to have a good time with them and see them, spend time with, get to know them, invest into who they are as people, not just see them as like in-laws, but as, you know, confidants in our life. For me, even this wedding planning process, like, I've grown even closer, I think, to your family, because we've been able to talk through some of the stuff and to work through some stuff and have some hard conversations, and just the way they've loved and respected us as a couple and as me as somebody entering into the family. I feel a lot of peace about it. I know that's not the case for everybody. I know sometimes in-laws can overstep. I think an important note there is I believe it's the responsibility of the son or daughter of those parents to tell them when they're overstepping, not the responsibility of the partner. And so, you know, for us, I think it's, who knows if it happens or not, it hasn't happened yet, but if it does, to communicate internally as a unit here and say, hey, your parents are involving themselves or saying things that are going against what we've decided as a unit. Let's process through it and see if they're right. And then the second piece of that is, if they're not right, how do you, because you know them better than I ever will, or how do I, because I know them better than you ever will, communicate to them that they need to take a step back?
Yep.
And keep that relationship and that communication going in that relationship to that level. So it's not a shocker when you do it. It doesn't destroy a relationship. But they just expect it. Like, okay, I get it. Like, I'll step back.
Yep.
Okay. Here's the fun ones. Hun, did you hire a wedding planner?
I did.
Who is it?
Fett Nashville, Sarah Freed. She's been so helpful because I wouldn't know the first place to start with planning a wedding. So that was important to me.
We did hire a wedding planner. Obviously, our wedding is it's great. We have the gift. People is going to cover it. And so People Magazine is going to be there. We had no clue how to do that. And so it was important for us to find somebody that knew what they were doing. And she was one of those people. What has been the most challenging part then to putting together your wedding outside of COVID?
I think kind of stepping outside of what is expected and doing what's best for us has been a little hard. Like not just like financially, but also what do we want from the day? And do we want for it to be all about us? Do we want to honor our guests? Do we want, like, how do we want our food to be served? Like, things like that. So I think kind of thinking outside the box has been hard. And then also the guest list was, like, the worst part and still is the worst part.
Yeah, because you're going to say you're not having people at your wedding that you still care about and that you still want a part of your life. And so, like, that has been the hardest for me is how do you say no, like, it's just not possible, but still let them know that you care about them.
Well, and because our engagement has been so long, we've developed new relationships in the past year and 9 months where it's like, man, I want you there, but, like, also, we are at max capacity. Like, we can't fit another body in the building. So, like, that's been hard.
Yeah, well... hopefully people understand. They know it's not personal. Yeah. But it has been something we talk about a lot. Mm-hmm. Because it's like heavy on both of us. And I'm hoping the day before and the day of the wedding, like that's no longer a thought in our minds, but it's tough. Okay. Where are we going to go on our honeymoon?
St. Bart's.
We're going to go down there for a nice little trip. We've never been to St. Bart's. But we're so excited for that trip. It's something we look forward to. We have a lot of cool things coming up here in the next few days. And one of the tips to close this is we're going to leave on our honeymoon at the day after the 2 days after our wedding. So we're going to take 24 hours off, rest up from the wedding, and then we'll fly out to St. Bart's. People recommended that because you'll just be too tired if you try to jump on a plane at 6 a.m. the next morning after your wedding and leave. So we're going to do that. Take some time off of work and have a great time. And then we'll be a married couple on the islands. It's going to be great. I love you, hon.
I love you.
Let's go get married.
I can't wait to marry you.
Let's go get married.
Let's do it.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's final episode of Hope Still Wins in Relationships. We hope you enjoyed listening to all the amazing guests, getting to know Jess and I a bit more, and we hope it encouraged you wherever you're at in your relationship season, and you find yourself confident, joy-filled, and full of love.
That's sweet. Thank you all for welcoming me as a co-host. We have loved getting to share this season with some of our closest friends, family, and all of you.
It's been extra special. It really has. Thank you all for being a part of it. Well, hon, I think it's time to go get married. I'm your host, Ben Higgins, and, well, next time we talk to you, you're going to be...
Mrs. Higgins.
Hey, let's talk soon.
Oh, boy.